Poorly Read.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of Poorly Read.
Poorly Read. Poorly Read.
Yep. That's the name of our podcast.
That sounds like a failed, like, jingle of, like, a CBBC show. So someone's like, okay, so what about this? Poorly Read. Poorly Read.
And the room of executives, yeah. Like...
I don't see how that's going to grab a five-year-old listener. How about this? Jing-a-ling-a-ling! Poorly motherfucking Read, bitch! Like, yes, I love it! I love it! Do you know what I was thinking about the other day? Do what you remember what the OG, like, Poorly Read jingle was? Because I was on the toilet.
The one that never actually made it to an episode.
Yeah, my, like, original idea that Tom was like, no, it's shit.
Was I?
You were like, you didn't like it.
Oh.
Or you thought it was okay. You didn't like one of the lines. And I was like, well, come up with a better one then. And you was like, I can't. And I was like, well, fuck off.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
I'll do it for you because I was trying to remember it on the toilet and I got it all in the end. So he went, we want to make you happy like a birthday cake. Make you laugh till you shit with the jokes we make. We want to warm you up like home-baked bread. Open up wide, it's Poorly Read. Duh.
Yeah, I do remember that. Yeah. And I had, like, vaguely thinking in my head, imagined it to a, what's that, like the type of piano that sounds like it's being played on an auto scroller and like a sort of bar shanty style.
Oh, like a,
like group singing.
Wait, do you mean like a sort of like a seaside piano?
Yeah.
Yeah. A dance hall piano.
Like that kind of piano going on behind it, and then like just group almost like tavern style shanty, like vocals.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Never happened though.
No.
Just typewriter noises instead.
That took effort to put that together.
I'm sure it did.
It did.
I appreciate it.
Notice how the typewriter noise actually follow like a proper rhythm.
Clack, 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 clack.
What?
That's the rhythm, isn't
that
it?
That was not the... It's not accurate.
Is it not?
No, it's like... Like that.
Because it was
just...
Yeah.
It was just a normal typewriter sound. I had to edit that to get it into a proper beat.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Simon, go fuck yourself. Anyway, welcome to our amazing retelling of Order of the Phoenix, I guess.
Yep. Are you hooked yet?
They will be after my song this week, Tom.
Oh, yeah.
Last week was the first time I've ever pre-planned any of the songs. So
any of the content.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Okay, right. I feel nervous.
Because, I mean, literally, he's just going to open his mouth and something's going to come out. We don't know what.
Okay, right. I think I got it. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Order of the Phoenix. It is kind of tragic. So get a tablecloth and we'll do some cock magic.
as soon as we hit the word tragic, I was like, yep, I know where this is going.
Nice. How does he do it?
How does he do it? Well, the trick is you hold the tablecloth a couple of inches in front of you.
Yes, make sure your trousers are down, of course. Otherwise, it just won't work, Tom.
No.
Or...
Unless you've got a particularly powerful... Unless you can burst through your own trousers.
A correction I wanted to make in last week's episode. No. Yes? No. Hold on.
The internal struggle.
In the episode that aired on the 19th of February.
Right.
I said that Tonks turns into an old woman in book 6.
Oh, and it's actually in this bit.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I apologize for that. Okay.
Well, we shall await the verdict of the public to see whether your apology is accepted.
Should we crack on?
All right. So chapter 10, Luna Lovegood.
Luna Lovegood.
Yeah.
Yeah, she has like a dreamy like 1960s kind of theme, I feel. Luna Lovegood. She's got blonde hair. She's kind of spacey. with a thousand mile stare.
There you go. Another theme tune done.
Oh, jazz it up. It should sound like, do you remember, what's it called? Da, da, da. Stingray. Do you remember Stingray?
I don't.
Oh,
know.
You might. It was the puppets. It was like Stingray, like that.
Oh, like Thunderbirds.
Yeah,
and
like the other
Captain
one.
Scarlet.
Yeah, so it was the third of that. Oh no, because there was four. There was Captain Scarlet, Thunderbirds, Joe 90, and
oh,
then
I don't remember
this is the other one.
I don't remember Joe 90 at all, but I do remember Stingray, but I can't really differentiate between them.
So
in my head.
There was that character in Stingray. It was the woman who lived under the sea. SpongeBob.
Yes, yes.
No, but she was part of like a mer tribe, which a evil wizard had cursed, so that if anyone dared to speak from her tribe, people would die. So she was silent, and then her name was Marina, I think, but they would call her Aquamarina. And her theme tune, because she would on the end credits, it'd be her swimming, and then was it Marina or Maria? It might be Maria. And it was like, Maria, Aqua Maria, she swims and does shit on the bottom of the ocean. Like that.
She does a shit on the bottom of the ocean.
She does a long stringy shit on the bottom of the ocean.
Spends a little while hanging out of her butthole before it finally lets go.
She eats flakes at the top of the bowl.
Don't overfeed her.
When she gets mad, she eats the other ones in the tank. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I remember that now, yeah.
Yeah, Luna's theme should be like that, I think. Like, Luna, it's Luna Lovegood. She might kill you in your sleep or cook you a meal. You won't know until it's too late. She might let you break her seal. Oh, Jesus Christ. Anyway, yeah.
Yeah, anyway.
Oh, God, yeah.
So, they're still in the Grimmauld place.
Yes.
And there's commotion and everyone's running late.
Well, that morning, Harry wakes up from a dream he has.
Oh,
ends
yeah.
With him walking down a long corridor, reaching for a doorknob. So I wondered, was he in a corridor in the last dream he had?
It's mentioned a few times up to this point that he's been having recurring dreams about long corridors with a door at the end.
Yeah, because I remember I made a joke about it last time. Yeah, so I like that it's sort of the corridor is becoming more and more like clear in his mind.
More and more of a thing, yeah. Fred and George, thinking to save time, enchant their suitcase and have it fly down the stairs, and it takes out Ginny and knocks her down two flights of stairs. That could have actually killed her.
I guess you just do like reparo, right? And she'll be good as new.
Madame Pomfrey spinning in her grave.
Just do reparo, and they're like, Ginny. No.
Madame Pomfrey's like, no, she needs this special potion. She needs to stay overnight.
Yeah, she needs an overnight stay in my special hospital wing.
That's it. I forgot what her voice was.
Yeah, that was so dangerous, and rightfully so, fucking Molly goes off on one.
Yeah.
And because it wakes up Mrs. Black as well.
Yeah.
I've got a really good, like, in the American book, I think there's a drawing of Mrs. Black on the chapter her main chapter title thing.
Yeah.
And I like it.
Oh, okay. It's these kinds of keen insights that people come to the Poorly Read for.
I like it and it's good.
It's a good drawing.
I thought it was vivid and effective.
I usually like it better when books have pictures.
Yeah, I like it when the heroes of my book are called Biff, Chip and Kipper. Thank you very much. And did you have those books?
No.
Oh, mate. There'll be people out there who'll be like, oh, my God, yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, so Mrs. Black wakes up. So everyone's in a fucking tizzy. The house is loud.
Yeah.
Sirius is bounding about because he's turned into a dog.
Yeah, and Molly's like, Dumbledore said no.
Yeah, put that red lipstick away. Yeah, Tonks has turned into an old woman.
Yeah, and meets them at like the end of the street or something.
Yes, because when they exit the house, as soon as they step off the last step of the porch, the house like vanishes.
Yeah, and all the sound from Mrs. Black's wails just like immediately cut off.
They're like, you said Mrs. Black's wails.
Yeah, yeah.
If you could see how disappointed Tom looked at me there.
So they walk to King's Cross.
What?
Yeah.
Do they?
So it took them about 20 minutes to walk to King's Cross, yeah.
I completely missed that.
Which does line up with them being roughly in Islington, I think.
What a fucking motley crew going down the street with massive trucks. Could they be more conspicuous?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. This is so irresponsible.
Yeah.
Of everyone involved.
I mean, they've got an honour guard kind of thing.
That's even worse. There's like all these fucking people around them. A guy with a fucking like gammy eye.
But all these massive trucks. Moody's wearing a porter's cap.
Oh my God.
Down low, covering his eyes. Because he just clearly just wanted to dress up.
Why wouldn't you just put a normal eye patch over the eye patch?
Or use, I don't know, some sort of transformation magic.
Yeah, use Polyjuice Potion.
Or is that just too many memories?
Yeah, he's like,
too soon.
Yeah, fair enough. Even so, they should have fucking... Because they used the night bus in a later book to get somewhere... Like, all together like this. They should have just done that.
Yeah.
Just get on the night bus to fucking go to Hogwarts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fuck. Oh, jeez, right. So we've got a fucking, like, it looks like a fucking travelling circus walking towards King's Cross.
Yeah.
And they get there, and then they go through the barrier. They all say their goodbyes. Moody says, look, don't put stuff in writing that you think might be, like... easily interpreted.
Yeah. If you're in any doubt, don't put it in a letter.
Yeah. How could he put it instead?
The old head in the fire trick.
That's true. Or he could send him an email. Or send him a telegraph. There we go. Is that still a thing?
That's still putting it in writing though, isn't it?
I guess so.
I'm not entirely sure what a telegraph is though.
What do you mean?
Or a telegram. What's a telegram? Is that a thing?
I think a telegraph and a telegram are the same thing.
Yeah?
Yeah, because you...
Because really, my only reference for that is in Sound of Music.
Why?
Because, what's his name? The love interest who turns out to be a Nazi. Is like keeps coming up to the house and is like, telegram for you, sir.
Oh my God, yeah.
Rolf.
Was that his name?
Yeah.
Shit, do you know that in the bit of the fucking end where...
Rolf, and he was in love with an underage girl.
Yeah! Yeah!
16 going on... although 16 going on 17, I suppose, is not technically underage.
Yeah, he's like, you are 16 going on 21, that means you are of age. Yeah. And she's like, not I, but he's like, yes, 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 you are. Oh, God, fucking hell, yeah. And the dad comes out at the end and he's like, look, please, don't say anything. And he's like, they're here.
Yeah.
And they run out and then the fucking nuns have taken the batteries out of the Nazi cars.
Oh, yeah. Classic, like sister act moment.
Yeah.
Look at me with the fucking movie references
today.
I
know, right? Yeah, I hope that after the war ended that they came back and they found him and that they just fucking shot him in the back of the head in the town square. She's like, you are alive, going on dead. What happens next, Tom?
They get on the train and they're looking for an empty carriage. And Ron and Hermione's like, oh, well, oh, this is awkward.
Accent.
fucking. Harry, listen, mate. We need to go sit in the fucking prefect's carriage. Make us all put our fucking keys in a bowl.
Oh my God.
One's like, I ain't got any keys, but I do have a paperclip. So yeah, Ron and Hermione disappear.
Yeah, in a puff of smoke.
Yeah, this is how prefects disappear now, sorry.
They should have like a Shazam moment. Let's go Shazam! And then
where there's a song playing that they don't know the title of.
God. Anyway.
All right, we've had one of those each now.
Oh, God, yeah. So Harry goes off with Ginny to find an empty carriage. And they bump into Neville along the way, don't they?
Yeah.
And he's got a special plant in his hand.
Yes, that he's very excited about.
It's called Mimbulus Mimbletonia.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's all we have to say about that. So that they find a carriage with what Ginny calls Loony Lovegood.
Yeah.
Quite accurately.
Yeah. Loony. She's Loony Lovegood. Yeah, she's in the carriage reading a magazine upside down. The magazine's upside down. She's not upside down reading the magazine.
Yeah, she's hanging like a bat. Yeah, she's reading a magazine upside down, which did make me go, what? But then it is explained.
I was
so it's fine. Yeah.
Why is she reading the answers to a word search?
Almost.
I really?
Well, and it's like there are runes that are like, if you read these upside down, they do a special thing. So they sit down and Luna just looks out from the top of her magazine and goes, you're Harry Potter.
He's like, well, fucking, you're Sherlock Holmes, aren't you? Yeah.
What gave it away?
Lifts up his fringe, he's like bedazzled his scar. She's like, oh, you know, just the forlorn look on your face, you know.
Classic dead parents look.
Yeah, dead parents. I know you watched that boy die. Your aunt and uncle hate you, don't they, Harry? He's just like... Who sent you? Yeah, I put Harry looks sad. Harry feels sad, not looks sad. He probably does look sad too.
Yeah. He looks and feels sad throughout a lot of this book. Yeah. Well, angry, I guess.
He looks and feels sad throughout a lot of the series, to be fair. He's got a lot of shit to battle with.
He does.
Yeah. He should be.
Now he's got some fucking airy weirdo.
I love Luna.
I know you do. I don't understand why.
I just think she's cool.
I just think she is a fucking weirdo, though. She is off her rocker.
She is, but I feel like she's so insightful. And I love how she's got no filter.
Yeah, but I think a certain amount of filter is, you know, socially necessary.
I do think that too, but I enjoy it when people don't. I just love when people say what they mean and mean what they say, and I feel like she is that person.
I guess. She does tear into Hagrid later on, and I thought maybe that's why she's Gifton's favourite character. No, she makes me kind of do a almost Gifton style, like, ugh, eye roll.
So, Neville...
Yeah, Neville proudly showing off his Mimbulus Mimbletonia. Harry asks what it does, and Neville's like, oh, loads of stuff, look. And Neville bursts its pussy boils.
Right, so how did you write pussy?
I... I'm so glad you brought it up. Because what I've in fact written is Neville bursts its pussy boils.
That's what I wrote. I literally wrote, Neville has a Mimbulus Mimbletonia. It's pussy. And I was like, wait, hold on.
Yeah, how do you spell, is the word, how do you spell pussy?
I don't know. I think it is spelled like that. And you're just meant to know how to pronounce it via the context clues.
Yeah.
But that's a fucking, that's a roll of a dice, isn't
that's
it?
That's a minefield, that is.
Yeah, you shouldn't be fucking getting kids to read that out in class.
No.
Jesus Christ, yeah.
Definitely shouldn't be bursting anyone's pussy boils.
Oh, God.
Okay, so Neville bursts its pussy boils. And then Cho pussy comes in. Cho comes in to find Harry covered in puss.
Oh, Harry, you're covered in puss?
Sorry, this is a bad time, Harry. You're covered in puss.
Yeah, I can see there are many cats and many vaginas. And you are, as we can see, covered in them.
Is that Cho Chang's voice from now on?
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. And Harry's like, oh, he wished he could have been in there with like people who were cool and not be covered in puss. Oh, you know, so yeah, Cho looks at him, he's like, I'll come back later. And then she shuts the door.
Yeah.
And Harry's like, guys, you covered me in puss.
How are we going to clean up all this puss?
And Mary's like, I guess I use this skirt to fast Bill. And then Luna's like, no way, hold on. Yeah. I brought bendy straws.
Oh, God. So then fucking Ron and Miley come. They just come in. And just, everyone just got a straw stuck in a different bit of Harry. Yeah.
Anyway, it smells like petrol, apparently. No, it smells like rancid acid. Something else smells like petrol. That's booba tuba pus.
Yes.
Booba tuba pus. Oh, fuck me.
Yeah, so Ron and Hermione come back into the carriage and announce that, oh, that took forever. And apparently there are only two new prefects from each house, which I guess...
That sounds normal, though.
I guess so, considering how few people there actually are in each year in each house. So I guess it wouldn't make sense to make more.
Because I guess you must stay prefect then until you leave.
Yeah, so I guess there's a total of like six... There would usually be two prefects from 5th, 6th and 7th year, but possibly one less in 7th year if they've been made head boy or girl.
What, so there's six... So in total there's six prefects in every house?
I guess so.
But we don't hear about any other prefects.
Well, Percy? Well, no, they don't really know anyone in the year above them, though, do they? They knew Cedric.
Did anyone really know
Cedric? He was a prefect.
Angelina's older.
Yeah.
So are the twins.
Well, yeah, they're not prefects, are they?
No, but this is what I mean. So who is the prefect in the year above then?
I don't know.
Because you can't just become a... Because otherwise they'd be making prefects only every 3 years.
Well, no. Well, I guess there are prefects in that year. We just don't know who they are.
But that seems bizarre that we haven't ever met other prefects from other years.
Maybe. I guess they've not been central to the story.
That's annoying. I don't like that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Incomplete world building.
Yeah. Because now I've got questions and they can't be answered.
Just more, another bullet point for the letter to JK.
Fucking hell, yeah. This is going to be like an encyclopedia tome, I feel.
Yeah.
We're going to have to send it in like a padded envelope.
Well, we're just going to rewrite the books, aren't we?
Yes. Yeah, let's just do it. We'll retitle them and everything. We've got Harry Potter and the Hot Cups.
Yep.
Harry Potter and the Order of the Fifi.
Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Pee-Pee.
Harry Potter and the MacGuffin.
Which I recently learned the meaning of.
Yeah, Tom thought I made the word up.
I did. Well, you said the phrases before that to describe the very same thing. Trifly bollocks and frou-frou.
Well, frou-frou is a real term.
Is it?
Yeah, frou-frou just means like overly fussy and like fancy. Yeah, trifly bollocks was just a combination of two words.
Which two?
So like trifly as in like trifling, and bollocks obviously means bollocks. So trifling.
Explain.
When you're born with all your sex organs, Tom, you get a pee-pee and you get a pair of bollocks. Sometimes they don't always descend the way they're supposed to. And your voice remains unusually high.
But you get the good parts in the choir.
Oh, fucking hell. Right, so Malfoy comes in after them to, like, check in, I guess.
Yeah, and we learn who all the prefects are from all the other houses.
I only remembered the Slytherin ones.
Yeah, it's Malfoy and Pansy Parkinson. Ravenclaw, it's Anthony Goldstein and Padma Patil.
Okay.
And from Hufflepuff is Hannah Abbott and Ernie Macmillan.
Good for Ernie.
Yes, nice, yes. To see some representation.
Even though he's not black.
Even though he's not black.
Yeah, and then someone's like, oh, fuck off, Malfoy. Then he's like, oh, be careful. Oh, I'll give you a detention.
Yeah.
And then he's like, oh, what does he say to Harry? What's the line?
I don't know.
He says, and you better behave yourself, Potter, otherwise I'll be dogging your every move. And Potter's like, oh, yeah, my aunt and uncle are into that. Yeah, but then Hermione like slams the door shut and gives Harry a pointed look.
Yes, and a pointy, like, sharp look.
Yes.
And they can't, but they can't discuss it.
In present company.
No. Before that, at the mention of Padma Patil, Luna burns Ron about being a limp dick date at the Yule Ball.
What's Luna's voice again?
Did we do a voice? Didn't she just have a theme tune?
Yeah, should we give her a voice then? I thought I did a voice for the pus bit, but maybe it was
That was Cho.
Oh, okay. Okay, what can Luna's voice be then?
I don't know.
Maybe she talks like this. She's like, oh, right. Are you into the U-Bar with Pamela Patil? And he's like, yeah. She's like, oh, she had a rotten time.
She said you cried afterward.
Yeah, she had to go back to her dorm room and finish herself off. She had to rub herself on the end of her bed. No amount of scourge if I could clean that, I tell you. It was all covered in puss.
Everyone's like, thank you.
No, I don't like that voice. It sounds too much like Madame Pomfrey.
Oh, yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Yeah. I don't know. If anyone's got any ideas for Luna voices and we don't come up with one by the end of this episode, feel free to write in.
Write in.
Yeah,
with
just
how
phonetically
Luna's...
spell how we're supposed to pronounce things.
Not like send in a voice clip or write it out. Yeah, Harry asks to see Luna's Quibbler, which she has been holding upside down. There's an article about how Sirius is actually, someone claiming Sirius is actually like a retired singer from a band. A bit about how Fudge is killing goblins and ordering them to be cooked in pies. Yeah, it's really like trashy piece of shit magazine from the sounds of those articles. It's just like completely worthless, which Hermione points out.
Yeah.
And Luna takes offense.
And Luna's like, actually. Actually, my dad wrote that paper.
We're going to be throwing things out there and trying to go.
Yeah, we're going to throw a lot of shit at the wall for Luna's voice.
My dad's the editor of this paper, actually.
Actually. Actually, my dad. then the whole Malfoy Crabgoyle thing comes in. They talk about dogging. Then they get off the train.
Yeah, Grubbly Plank is there to shepherd them.
Yeah,
Hagrid is noticeably absent.
Yes, Harry is concerned.
Yeah, and then Harry turns to his right, and he turns to his left, and then he's like, look, here I am, stuck in the middle with you. No, he turns and he sees the carriages aren't like being pulled by themselves anymore.
Yes, there's horse. There were. He would have said they were horses, but there was a certain reptilian quality about them. Yeah. They were skeletal and they had wings.
I feel like if I was a Harry Potter animal, I'd probably be a Thestral.
Yeah?
Yeah. I just feel like I've got that kind of vibe.
Just because you don't want to interact with anyone unless they've seen people die.
Yes, unless you've witnessed a horrific accident, we just can't be friends.
Yeah, so Harry's like, what?
Someone like bash him on the carrot. Ron, it's happened again.
I thought you said you got rid of that virus.
He tries to point the Thestrals out. Well, you don't know they're called Thestrals yet, but he tries to point them out to Ron, and Ron can't see them. And then Luna comes up behind him, and she's like,
I can see them too, Harry.
I can see them too.
I can see them too, Harry.
And Harry's like, what? So don't worry, you're just as sane as I am.
And
I was like, that's not a great comfort.
Yes.
You're obviously as sane as an umbrella being held by a dolphin.
Oh, God. I was waiting with bated breath throughout that.
Oh, fuck me.
And Luna just stares back at him like, yeah, okay. I'm the mental one.
And she was like, yeah, yeah. Dolphins often use umbrellas.
Stick them in their blowholes.
They're all big fans of Mary Poppins. And Harry's like, whereabouts are you from? Yeah. And then she goes, Shazam! And she disappears in a puff of smoke.
Yeah, he's like, how do people keep doing that? We're not allowed to apparate yet. Chapter 11.
Yeah, the Sorting Hat's new song.
Yes.
It's the same old shit, though.
I mean, not really.
He's basically like, he just mentions all the houses, he's like, look, let's all be friends.
Yeah, which is kind of the distinction, really, because before that, it's just been like, Will you be in this house with these qualities, or will you be in this house with these qualities? I know, and I'll find out. Whereas now, it's like the founders had these qualities, and then they fell out for this reason, but now the school's in danger, and we need to come together, or we'll fall divided, but we can stand together united.
Yes. Most of you will die. That makes me sad. But do not worry. It won't be that bad.
Because I will live forever, and that's all that matters.
Because I am a hat, even though I'm in tatters. And Harry's like, is this the same hat from last year? I'm like, no, we lost that one.
Dumbledore's taken to just giving it fire whiskey.
Dumbledore knitted this hat over the summer. As you can see, it has an extra large gape in its mouth this year. And a hole round the back just for luck. Yeah, so they wonder about Hagrid in the carriage.
Yeah, and Luna says, oh, I hope he's left. He's not a very good teacher, is he?
Yeah. Everyone at Ravenclaw think it's a bit of a joke.
Which Harry gets all pissy about.
Yeah, and someone says, I think Ron says something, or Hermione's like, well, we think he's an amazing teacher, and you can fuck off with your weird googly eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Harry wonders some more about the horses, because still no one can see them. They enter the Great Hall.
Yep, and they notice that Hagrid is still not at the teacher's table, and that there's a new arrival at the teacher's table.
Yeah.
Toady McToadface.
Is that her name for now?
It can be.
Yeah, I like that.
Good. And so it was decided.
Yeah, so the hat is brought out, gives his little song.
Yeah.
Then Mick G.
And at one point in his song, Hufflepuff is literally described as the rest.
No way, really?
Yeah. There's the whole, I'll take the lot, said Hufflepuff, and treat them all the same. And then a little bit later on, I'm just going through them again for some reason, and goes through the qualities. And then it's like, and the rest were in Hufflepuff.
Oh, God, that house.
Yeah.
I feel like she should have made a greater effort to make it a more of a desirable house to be in.
Yeah. I mean, an effort has been made since by people who've, you know, been sorted into Hufflepuff.
Yeah, and
people say they're good finders for some reason.
What, because they're badgers?
Maybe.
So they're good at foraging in holes. No one ever left a condom behind inside me, I tell you that much. Yeah, they should have just made them, like, maybe if virtue was, like, their quality.
Yeah.
Because virtue, I think, is distinct enough from bravery that it wouldn't interlink too much with Gryffindor.
I guess.
Then if Hufflepuff was virtue, I think that'd be great.
Yeah.
Instead of misc dot. Yeah. Oh, fucking hell.
Yeah, so Dumbledore stands up and instructs everyone to tuck in again.
Yeah, he loves saying that, didn't he?
Yeah. So everyone begrudgingly stands.
Stands, pulls from the back, puts their legs together, does a little waggle. Dumbledore takes photographs. And he's like, creepy, put them in the potion.
Then everyone sits back down again very carefully.
Oh, God, then after luncheon... Luncheon?
Luncheon.
Who the fuck do I think I am? Fucking hell, after the feast, Dumbledore gets up to do his little speech.
Yep.
And then we hear it.
Yeah, he introduces Professor Gobbleyplank as the new Care of Magical Creatures teacher, and Professor Umbridge as the new Defense Against the Dark Arts teacher, and then goes to continue talking, but then stops as he realizes Umbridge has stood up.
Yes, but people can't tell she stood up because she's so short.
Yes.
So it looks like she's just stayed the same height.
What an idiot.
Oh, God. And she's like, thank you, headmaster, for that marvelous introduction.
Yes. She gives a little patronizing welcome and then starts talking about how progress for progress's sake is to be discouraged, and we should be prohibiting certain practices that have been carried out in the school that have been dangerous. And
yes. And everyone should start wearing fluffy things.
Fluffy pink things.
Yeah, fluffy pink things. Any shape you like. I have molds if you want. I'll come to my office. I have them mounted on my walls. But I have pussies and pussies. And then she sits back down.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
And Hermione realises the subtext of what she's kind of saying, basically.
Yeah, because Ron, like, that's just a load of old fucking tish tosh and waffle.
Yeah.
And Hermione's like, yeah, but amongst that tish tosh and waffle, Ron, there's some very intriguing things. Like, blah, blah, blah. Basically, the ministry is interfering at Hogwarts.
Yeah.
Hogwarts. Hoggy, hoggy, Hogwarts. And Ron's like, And Harry's like, And Luna's like, I'm losing the plot, sorry.
Yeah. the feast ends. Ron and Hermione, Hermione says, we need to show the first years where to go. And Ron's like, oh, shit, yeah.
Yeah, but he calls them all midgets. And I don't think you can say that anymore.
No, but Ron doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah, neither does JK, apparently.
Well, it's a character saying it.
Yeah, but I mean, because at that time, I don't think midgets was sort of like a derogatory term yet.
No?
No.
No.
I mean, you should hear what she uses to describe Cho in this book.
Is that a real thing, or...?
No. Okay.
I wasn't sure. Yeah, Harry wanders away from the crowd because he's getting stares and whispers and all sorts.
He's too famous.
Yeah. He gets up to Gryffindor Tower, realizes he doesn't know the password.
Oh, yeah. That's the fat lady should be like, look, it's fine.
Yeah, I obviously know who you are.
Yeah. Because even if you're a bad guy and you had the password, then you could get in. So what difference does it make?
Well, exactly. I mean,
Sirius Black.
Yeah, Sirius Black got in with the password.
Exactly.
And then the password is Mimbulus Mimbletonia, just by coincidence.
That's lucky, isn't it?
Neville's plant. That is lucky. What are the chances?
Also, why are they always such complicated passwords?
Don't know.
They should just be like, I don't know.
Guest 123.
Yeah, or like, I don't know.
Or admin, if you want to go in there and rearrange the furniture.
Or maybe if it should be like different, can't be different suites, cause that's what Dumbledore has.
Mm.
Maybe just...
Something to do with bravery?
Yeah.
Names of different famous wizards who are famous for being brave?
Yeah, okay. Or just like muggle celebrities. So it's like Katie Price. She's like, well done. Just swings open. And Neville's like, who's Katie Price? And Harry's like, I'll show you, Neville. I think you'll really like it. Oh, fuck me. So Harry gets upstairs, rips off his clothes, does a little jig around the room, bollock naked.
And then Seamus comes in and is like, up to your old tricks again, Potter.
He's like, yeah, you know, just getting my scent everywhere. I just want everyone to know this is my room. And bends over and just pisses on Seamus's bed.
I don't want to share a dormitory with this guy anymore.
Yeah, put your fucking wand away, Harry. Yeah, Seamus isn't really talking, and Harry's like, okay, well, did you have a good summer?
Yeah.
Seamus's like, actually, no.
He's like, yeah, well, my mom didn't want me to come back to Hogwarts.
And Harry's like, why? No, Harry isn't Irish.
Maybe he's just like, oh, Seamus, didn't your mother want you to come back to Hogwarts?
Oh, Seamus, why did she want you to come back to Hogwarts?
And then they have the whole...
I think we can go into it. Should we role play? So I'll be Irish Harry. Yeah. Seamus. Oh, Seamus, why didn't your mom want you to come back to Hogwarts?
Well, to be honest there, Harry, it's because of you.
What do you mean because of me, boy?
Well, she thinks you're a feckin' idiot.
Why, because of Dark Lord is back?
Is this... I wonder if maybe it's time to back away from the Irish accents now.
No, I love it too much. Carry on. Ha
has your mom been meeting the Daily Prophet?
What if she has?
Well, she's a fucking idiot. No.
Won't you call my mom a fucking idiot?
Well, Coletta, why did you call me a fucking liar? Tell your mom to go fucking sit on her stove.
Don't you be talking about my mom's puss.
Well, I wouldn't drink your mom's gravy if I fucking had Seamus's lips. You're Seamus. Sorry, forget that.
And then Ron comes in. He's like, what's all the commotion?
And Dean is like, oh, they're arguing over the Daily Prophet. And Ron's like, what? Yeah, and then Seamus is like, oh, do you believe all this shit he's been saying about the Dark Lord?
The Dark Lord.
And Ron's like, yeah, I do actually. I was like, there.
I mean, I wasn't like there, but...
Yeah, I was like, there. I was like, there in like, you know, in my heart. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And Seamus is like, we're just as fucking crazy as he is. He's like, you fucking call me crazy again, mate. Like,
I'll show you crazy.
But he fucking rips one of his own teeth out and just spits it at Seamus. And Seamus is like, fucking hell, I'm getting out of here.
I don't want to share a dormitory with you.
Yeah, I watch my own dorm. Gonna go sleep with the Hufflepuffs. I'm sure they'll take me. I wonder if you can go and sleep in other people's dorms.
I mean,
I guess if they had the password to get you in, then no one's going to say anything, are they?
No, I wouldn't have thought so.
Hmm. And if it's Ravenclaw, you just got to answer the question.
Yeah, so does no one tell the Ravenclaw students what the answers to their riddle is? They have to figure it out.
Yeah.
So any student could figure it out. But I guess the idea is the only ones smart enough would be the ones in Ravenclaw.
Yeah, which is ridiculous.
It is.
Because McGonagall gets in there in the book 7.
Hermione definitely could.
Yeah. Hermione probably does. She's probably never even been to her dorm room.
Yeah.
She probably just goes and hangs out with the Ravenclaw. She's like, I can't fucking stand those Gryffindors.
She's probably banging, what's his name? Anthony Goldstein.
Yeah, he's giving her his Goldstein. She's like, oh, gold. He's like, gold.
Yeah. And then Neville stands up for Harry in the end.
Yeah, I really, really, really liked that.
Yeah, me too.
I thought
too.
It was really nice.
Yeah.
He's like, well, me mom and me... Me grandma and me, we believe Harry. Me grand says that the Daily Prophet has been going downhill for many years now. So we stand for you, Harry and Dumbledore.
And as he's saying, he's just slowly pulling like the cover for his body. He's just underneath the sheet like a corpse. And everyone's like, who invited him? Oh, I wonder if we'll keep any of that.
I know.
Oh, God. Do you want to do a second version of us just talking normally about it? Just in case.
Okay.
Yeah?
A quick one.
Yeah.
So, So Harry notices that Seamus is not really talking to him.
Yeah, he's like, Seamus, what's up, mate? What's up, Doc?
I mean, do we still do the accent for Seamus?
Why not?
Seamus is like, ah, don't you fucking worry about it.
Harry's like, okay. And they go to bed peacefully.
Yeah.
No, Seamus is like, yeah, I had an alright summer. And Harry's like, is everything alright? Seamus is like, well, actually, my mom wasn't sure she was going to let me come back. And Harry's like, why?
Well, it's because of you, mate.
So what do you mean because of me?
Well... He's like, oh, she hasn't been reading the Daily Prophet, has she? Well, about if she has?
You can tell your ma to get a life. No, he's like, well, if your mum fucking believes what's in the Daily Prophet, then she's as much an idiot as, I don't know, what's really fucking stupid? I don't know, someone with really severe concussion, I guess. That doesn't make people stupid, that usually makes them violent. Yeah.
So if your mum's reading the Daily Prophet, she must be as stupid as someone with a severe concussion. Take that. Well, she has been lashing out recently.
Yeah, she did kill me, da. It's okay, though. We just hid the body, covered it in Guinness, and it dissolved. She's taking me to Disney World with the money. Oh, fuck me. No, I can't even remember what.
And then, Ron comes in and Seamus is like, you don't believe all this tosh and codswallop that the Dark Lord being the Dark Lord. Ron's like, yeah, I do, actually. And Neville chimes in and is all like, yeah, my nan says it's the Daily Prophet that's all full of gubbins than...
What? He's like, my nan says that it's the Daily Prophet that's been going downhill and not Dumbledore, and he's still the best lover she's ever had, and whatever he says goes. And Harry's like, good for you, Neville. And he's like, thanks, mate. And Harry's like, we're still not friends though.
And then, yeah, he goes to sleep all huffy.
Yeah, the next morning, fucking Seamus, like, goes out before anyone else wakes up, kind of thing.
And we're into chapter 12, Professor Umbridge. Harry wakes up wondering how many more disagreements he's going to have to endure, and they go down to the common room and see Fred and George have put a sign up offering to pay people for something mysterious.
Yeah, for their wheezes.
Yeah.
Oh, half a tuppence for your wheeze. News, please.
Yeah, like they're conducting like paid medical trials, basically.
Yeah, which is super dangerous.
Yeah.
I quite like it, though.
Especially since we know there's like no regulating body for this kind of thing.
Oh my God, tell me about it, right? These fucking kids can just run wild and no one does anything.
No.
I want to go to Hogwarts.
I want to get some products tested on me. Harry and Ron tell Hermione about the disagreement with Seamus, and Hermione's like, yeah, Lavender agrees with Seamus. And he's like, oh, we've been having a nice conversation about how I'm a loony, have you? And Hermione's like...
She pulls out a gun, holds it sideways, puts the barrel into his mouth. And she's like...
Do you want to stop being a cunt?
Yeah. If you don't fucking stop, Harry, I'm going to send you to where your parents are. Do you understand me?
Yeah.
And he's like... Okay. Yeah, all
right. Sounds very reasonable.
And she just slides a gun in and out a few times. And he's like, what are you doing? She's like, I just like the way it looks.
All the way down.
And they look up and Dumbledore's like polishing his monocle.
It's a my.
A new contraption to bring into my games. Oh, an AK-47, you say? I think an AK-47 is like an assault rifle.
It's like a machine gun.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a man.
I might put that machine gun for Harry's house. Yeah, and Harry says sorry.
Yeah, well, yeah, she basically says, if you could stop jumping down our throats every 5 minutes, we're on your side, we support you.
Yeah.
I actually really like Hermione in this book.
Me too.
She's very...
She's good at controlling situations.
Yeah, and she's the good voice of reason. Like, a couple of times when they're talking about, like, inter-house unity, Harry and Ron are all just straight up like, no, fat chance they'll ever be friends with the Slytherins. Mm. Hermione's being very, like, open-minded about it, and she brings up what Dumbledore said the year before about Voldemort being good at sowing discord, and this is, like, exactly what he means. And she, like, you know, figures out the subtext of what Umbridge is saying. Like, she's so smart, and I think they would just be completely fucking lost without her in this book.
Well, yeah, I mean, this whole series Harry couldn't do anything without Hermione, I feel.
No, definitely not.
Like, she's literally the brains of the operation.
Yeah.
She's the brains. Harry's like the hand that carries it out, I feel.
Ron's the clown.
Yeah, Ron's like the fucking, I don't know...
The obligatory best friend sidekick.
Yeah, what's that useless organ that you have?
The appendix.
Yeah. Ron's that fucking jagged wisdom tooth that you just want yanked out and thrown away. There we go. But then Ron and Hermione keep on getting into like skirmishes, I think, in this book.
Yeah, they are at each other's throats, just ramping up the sexual tension. Yeah. Angelina Johnson appears and tells Harry that she's been made Quidditch captain and they're going to try out for a new keeper now that Oliver Wood has left. And she wants the whole team there to know that they can find someone who's the best fit for everyone.
Who is the whole team? Harry, the twins, Katie Bell,
Angelina Johnson, and Alicia Spinett?
Maybe.
Unless one of them's left.
I mean, these are all just names I know crop up in the books and might even be Gryffindors.
No, they're the Gryffindor...
I can't remember.
Not Seekers, Chasers, aren't they?
What, Katie and
Angelina?
Alicia?
Angelina Johnson, Katie Bell.
I think Angelina, isn't she a beater? No, Ron, the twins are the beaters.
The twins are the beaters, yeah.
Harry's a seeker.
Yeah. And then the keeper was Oliver Wood, who's now left, who they need to replace.
Okay, so Chasers are Angelina and Alicia.
And Katie, there's three.
So there's three of them?
Yeah.
Oh, why is there three of them?
Because it's just the rules of Quidditch.
Oh, I don't like that. Well, there's not a nice like symmetry to it, as it would be if there were two. There were two chasers, two beaters, one seeker, one goalie.
Keeper,
that's it, yeah.
Yeah, I guess. But I mean, they're the ones doing all the like tactical play, aren't they? Three on each team.
It should just be one. It should just be a seeker on each team and that's it.
Well, there is a seeker on each team.
No, but I mean, that's it.
You mean a chaser? No. Oh, what? Like, oh, just like one player versus one player.
Yeah, we just got to find the snitch. Then whoever wins, wins.
I mean, it might as well be that. Yeah. The others on the pitch are just like flies buzzing around.
Yeah. If the others are just like cheerleaders that come on during halftime.
Yeah.
Do little like dances, a little jig. That'd be sick. And because they're wizards, there's so many other like special effects that'd be involved.
Yeah.
I would love that.
So Harry just represents all of Gryffindor, or would there be several different like Gryffindor seekers?
I think for the sake of this visual, it should just be Harry.
Yeah.
He's just one person who's responsible for the success of everyone's team. But they are the team.
Just to mount the pressure.
Yeah.
On Harry, because he doesn't have enough.
But I mean, I feel like he kind of plays independently to the rest of the team anyway.
Well, yeah. So and if he catches the snitch, then the team wins 150 points. And yeah. unless his team are 15 goals down, then he just wins anyway. We've been over it. It's been gone over many times by many people.
Can you imagine if they were like, look, like everyone's forgotten their broomsticks, so we're gonna have to have a game of football instead. And I wonder how that would go down. I just imagine it'd be terrible.
Well, of course it would. None of them ever played football before.
But Harry has, I bet.
Do you think?
So, yeah, I bet he played it at school.
With
who? He would have had to in PE.
He would have had to in PE, I suppose, yeah.
I bet it'd be really good. I bet they'd all really like it.
Probably.
Yeah.
It is fun.
I don't believe so.
Well, I say that. I didn't enjoy it in school because the PE teacher would always be shouting at me. He thought my name was Gary, for one.
That's the best thing I've ever heard.
That's how... There was another, like, dweeby, quiet, nerdy kid who was shit at sports who looked a little... Who also had... Like, was skinny and black hair, who was called Gary, and oh, I think he thought God. I was him. And that's how sporty I was. And I was a daydreamer, so I would just be standing in the corner of a pitch, like, just drifted off, and I'd just hear, Gary, who are you marking? I'm like, oh shit, he means me.
But yeah, Angelina says they need to find a new keeper. Harry's like, yeah, fine.
Yeah.
They get the new timetables.
Oh yeah, at lunch, Hermione gets the Daily Prophet because she's all like, it's best to know what the enemy is saying. Fred and George come over. And Fred and George are just like, oh yeah, 50 is a horrible year because of the exams. The intensity ramps up and people get stressed out. Yeah. Horribly stressful year if you care about exams. Somehow we were able to keep our peckers up.
What? How? There's no... She knows what that meant. She did it on purpose. Fucking hell. I know they only got a few between them.
Yeah, it's mentioned in this bit that they only got three OWLs.
I wonder what they were in.
Yep. Yeah, don't know.
What do you think they're good at? Pulley charms?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like a lot of the stuff they're making now probably relies on potion making. Or the kind of mixing together of ingredients in a potion-y kind of way, anyway.
I guess so, yeah, okay.
But then it's hard to believe that they would do well in Snape's class. So I don't know.
Yeah, that is true. I reckon that they're obviously very smart kids who just like haven't got any time for academics.
Yeah.
I think there are a lot of people like that who are actually super, super smart, but just don't do well in like an educational sort of establishment. So I think they're just examples of that, really.
And they go to lunch and... I can't remember exactly what, but as they do with everything, Ron and Hermione are just constantly bickering, and Harry just has a go at them and storms out. Spends the rest of his lunch hour underneath the trapdoor of the North Tower, and so he was the first to arrive to divination.
Hold on.
Have I missed a bit?
Yeah, do you know what? We missed the whole bit where they bump into Cho. Oh, was that intentional? Do you not want to talk about Cho?
You know how I feel about them.
She can take her rice and her honour and get out of here.
Yeah, so he runs into Cho, and then Harry starts sort of asking how she sort of wants to talk to Harry, it seems.
Yes, and then Harry's like, how was your summer as a single woman?
And yeah, she's and like, ooh.
And he mouths, Cedric.
You didn't forget, did you?
Because I didn't. I relive that moment every day.
And then Ron comes in and is like, do you support the tornadoes?
And she's like, yes.
Yes.
I mean, like, you always supported them?
Yeah, or just since they started winning the league.
So I supported them since I was 5 or 6, one of the two.
One of those.
Yeah, since I was a child.
He's like, yeah. And then she disappears and Hermione's like...
Yeah, she's like, Shazam!
How does everyone keep doing this? I thought you couldn't do that inside Hogwarts. Hermione's like... For fuck's sake, Ron! You fucking twat! Which, is about right.
Yeah,
I think.
And then Harry's like, oh, I can't deal with this. So he wanders off. So then after that, they went to potions and then they go to lunch. One of the minors start arguing about something. I can't remember what they were arguing about.
No, argue about everything. And then Harry goes off and waits for divination to start. And then Ron arrives at divination and he's like, fine, Hermione and I are going to stop arguing.
Yeah.
Like, thank you.
Like, one has to make his way around the overstuffed poofs. Yeah.
Of course.
They're like, mind where you're going.
Yeah, so but if Ron says you've got to stop taking your temper out on us.
Yeah, you must control your temper.
Yes.
It's a Beauty and the Beast reference for you.
That was it. And they have to tell each other about their dreams, and Harry wasn't going to talk about the sort of dreams he's been having, and Ron says he can't remember any, but then at the end he's like, I dreamt about Quidditch the other night, what do you think that could mean? And there's a couple of bits where Ron's been kind of angling at Harry, like, new keeper.
I didn't even pick up on that.
Yeah.
Wow, that's embarrassing.
But Harry doesn't pick up on it either, so.
Yeah, we should have been like, why? And Ron would be like, I was thinking about trying out for keeper. And Harry would be like, you! Don't make me laugh! And the Trelawney's like, quiet, please.
Sorry, but miss, Ron's going to try out for a keeper.
And she's like, ah! I don't see that in your tea leaves, boy.
Yeah, then after that, they go to Defense Against the Dark Arts for the classic, iconic Umbridge lesson.
Is it iconic?
I think so.
I don't think so.
No?
Like, what is an iconic moment? I think when I think of Harry Potter and iconic, I just think of the Leviosa bit.
In terms of lesson moments, yeah. And I think...
Just in general.
I don't know. To me, this I don't know.
I guess, yeah,
this
is maybe you're right.
Pretty famous one for me.
Okay.
So we don't need to go over it. Once away, Quill's out.
Mammaries on the table.
One's away, Quim's out. I mean, Quills.
One's out, Quim's out.
Shake them all about.
We're going to do the hokey pokey. And we'll turn around. And that, my friends, is what it's all about.
Class dismissed.
Yes. And then as everyone's leaving you, whoa! Yeah. And then she fucks around at the door and she's like knees bent, arms raised, rah rah rah. Yeah, she doesn't do that.
No. She tells them to open up their textbooks. There's a whole bit about, I assume you all have your textbooks. I should like you to say, yes, Professor Umbridge.
I was like, fuck off.
Oh, this whole bit. Yeah, she obviously needs to fuck off. That's her whole thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then she sets them reading, like, the chapter on introduction to theory of magical whatever. Hermione hasn't opened her book, just holds her hand up.
Yeah, she's like... And Ron's like, why do you need your arm raised? And he's like, you know why, boy.
And then Umbridge tries to ignore her, but eventually enough people have just stopped reading.
Yeah,
and
enough
people have just stopped reading and are just waiting to see what's going to happen. And Umbridge is like, did you want to ask about the chapter? And she's like, not about the chapter, no. I've got a query about the course aims.
I was like, yeah, fair enough. But also, that's a kind of like, if a kid said that to me, I'd be like...
What, are you putting yourself in the position of a teacher?
Yeah, I'd be like, just go stand outside. For the rest of the lesson.
Yeah.
In fact,
probably, yeah.
Go and see the headmaster. Tell them that I'm sick to death of your fucking cheek.
I mean, that is almost exactly what she does.
Yeah.
Yeah. She thinks the course aim... Umbridge thinks the course aims are clear, and Hermione's like, there's nothing here about using defensive... that comes later. I think I've skipped a bit. Yeah, there's a whole, like, argument between the students and Umbridge. There's nothing in here about using defensive spells. How are we supposed to...
No, you haven't skipped a bit.
No?
No, because Hermione's like, surely the whole point of Defensive Dark Arts is to practice defensive spells. Then Umbridge is like, oh, why would you ever need to practice them? You'll learn defensive spells in a safe, risk-free way.
What situation do you imagine arising in my classroom where you should have to use defensive spells? And she's like, are you a ministry-trained official? Well then,
Hermione
keep
should
your
be like,
fucking
well,
beak out.
Oh god, yeah.
Yeah, and so then it's like, oh, so we're not actually going to be casting spells, and the first time we're going to actually cast these spells is during our exams.
Yeah.
And she's like, as long as you've studied the theory, there should be no reason why you can't produce the effect during your exams.
And I was like, that's shit, obviously, but I was like, well, you could just practice outside of class.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing actually stopping you.
No, but at the same time, that's, you know... Their argument is like, that's what lesson time is for. And also they do end up practicing outside of class, don't they?
They do. So really everyone's happy.
Well.
Apart from Cedric.
Well, what use is that going to be in the real world? The real world? Who do you imagine wants... Yeah, that's it.
That was a show on MTV back in the day. I see your parents have Sky. He's like, I don't have parents. She's like, I know.
Yeah, oh, so what good is that going to be in the real world? The real world? What about this in the classroom? This is the real world. She's like, well, what if we're going to get attacked? Who do you imagine wants to attack children like you?
Well, I don't know. Lord Voldemort. And he stands up and raises his hands. And everyone's like, that was impressive.
Yes. Well done, well done. 10 points from Gryffindor. And then she gives her whole speech about how you've been told a certain dark wizard is back from the dead. This is a lie.
Yeah.
Harry's all like, it's not a lie. And she gives him detention.
Gives him a spank. She cuts off a finger. She's like, I'm going to wear this as a necklace. And every time you see me, you'll be reminded of what happens to
insufferable know-it-alls.
Oh,
yeah, so according to you, Cedric Diggory dropped dead of his own accord, did he? It was a tragic accident. It was murder.
To be fair, no one questioned whether Harry killed him.
No.
That should have been a line of questioning, I feel. Especially from the Ministry, if they don't believe the Voldemort was back.
Yeah.
It should have been like, well, Harry...
If they're so determined that Harry is what they think he is, then it doesn't seem, outside of what they might believe.
Yeah. Really, this whole mess could have been cleared up if they'd just taken Harry's memory out of his head and put it in a pensive, just looked in it.
Yeah.
That should have been the first thing. Either that or give him Veritaserum.
Yeah. There are so many ways he could prove it.
Yeah. I guess Fudge just didn't...
They don't want to hear it, yeah.
I feel like Fudge did believe it deep down, but literally instantly just put himself in denial.
Yeah.
Because he was like, this isn't happening.
Yeah, I think that's it, isn't it? Yeah.
Because I think that's what would have happened if someone really did want to get the truth out of him.
Yeah. Yeah, because I assume Harry would have been happy to do it if it meant making the truth
Yeah,
heard.
Just make sure you choose the right memory.
Dumbledore's getting nervous.
Yeah, Devon was like, yes, I've left something back in my office. And Green like backs away and runs out the door. And then look out the window, you just see like a silhouette in his office of someone like swinging from the beam.
So then, Umbridge summons him up to his desk, writes a piece of parchment that seals it, and sends him to Professor McGonagall.
Yeah, meets Mick G outside her office.
Yes.
And she's like, what's this, Potter? And he gives her the slip. And she opens it and reads it. And she's like, oh, fuck's sake. get into my office, boy. What's her accent?
Scottish, isn't it?
Yeah, have we been doing Scottish? Did we do an accent for Mick G? I don't remember now. It's been
I think
so
it's
long
mostly just
talked.
Been like, ooh, you're a wee little rascal.
Hello! Yeah, so she summons him in.
Is this true, Potter? My ability to do accents has just disappeared this episode.
I've liked them all.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah, is this true? You shouted at Umbridge, called her a liar, told her you know who is back. He said yes.
She's like, sit down, Potter, and have a biscuit.
Have a biscuit, Potter.
And he's like, what? She's like, have a biscuit. He's like, I don't think it's the right type.
She thrusts a tartan tin at him.
He just pulls up a skirt. Frantful.
I don't even know how to navigate this bit.
Well, I like that the biscuit he got out was a ginger newt. And I was like, Harry ends up having a few ginger newts in his time. Yes. You know what I mean?
That's what Ginny calls it.
Harry, do you want to have a nibble on my ginger newt?
Oh, Ginny, I wish you wouldn't call it that.
And afterwards, we can do the Crumplehorn snore gag. It has an explosive ending.
We both end up covered in poos.
Oh, yeah. So he puts his hand in the tin.
Yeah.
Gets out a lovely bit of biscuit.
Yeah.
Has a little chomp down on that. And in between moans, McG says, look, you need to be... It's like, look, you need to be careful, Potter.
Until recently, I'd forgotten that she actually gives Harry biscuits from a tartan tin.
Yeah, me too.
And now this thing we've been joking about is actually happening. I don't know what to do.
So maybe more things we joke about will come to pass.
Dumbledore book. Actually burying bodies in the grounds outside Hagrid's.
Oh, God, fucking hell. Oh, God, all those bodies in the cave in book 6 are just Dumbledore's. All right, that brings us to the end of the chapter.
It does bring us to the end of the chapter.
Well, yeah, thank you for tuning in, guys. Check us out on Instagram at PoilyRedPod, on Twitter at PoilyRedPod, email us at PoilyRed@gmail.com. Give us a 5-star review on iTunes. Not iTunes, not called iTunes anymore. On the Apple Podcast app.
Please.
Please, sir. I want some reviews.
Reviews?
Oh, my God. Now I've got massive urge to watch The Sound of Music now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I might do that tonight. I probably won't.
I probably won't either.
Oh, okay, anyway, I've been Gifted.
I've been Tom.
And Hagrid's been Hagrid.
Well, he hasn't, has he?
No, he hasn't, because he's been away.
Away.
Yeah, he sailed away like Enya.
I'm sure it was exactly like Enya, yeah.
Oh, God. Okay, don't worry.
All right.
I've got a visual joke, but... Goodbye.
All right, that's it. Bye.